Seated. And we'll be in the book of Timothy tonight. You can go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy. Okay. So 1 Timothy, as Paul's writing this book to, obviously, Timothy from prison. And Timothy's, if you read through it and kind of learn what you can about Timothy, he doesn't seem to quite, he's young, for one, and he's put in a place where there's a lot of responsibilities on him. And you also find that Paul's telling him over and over, be bold, be strong, be confident. And he's also trying to instruct him on how to fill his position, because he's filling in as a pastor, but there's a lot to learn, as any new place is. So Paul's going to give him a lot of advice in this book, and I like what it says, because I sometimes like to put myself in there, and this advice is good for all of us. And in chapter 4, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 4, as we're going to think on tonight, profit in the Scriptures, or being a better workman. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's start at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now if you would, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, a very well-known verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It says here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And one last place here, if you'll, in chapter 3, let's start in verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Those are the verses that our parents, they had when we first would read through our Bible. They'd give us a nice Bible, and I still have it. This is what I'm using today. And they wrote those in the front of them. So let's pray and then see what we can learn from the Word tonight. Dear Father, we love you. We just ask that you would teach us by your Spirit. We ask for wisdom to learn what the Word says and the zeal and just yieldingness to do it, to obey whatever you show us. Help it be a profitable time tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So tonight we want to talk about being a better workman. Now Paul is not only talking to Timothy, but he's talking to us. And he's not just talking to a pastor or someone who says, you know, I like to be more prepared for the ministry, but he's talking to every Christian individual. It's our responsibility to know the Word, to know what it says. If you remember the Bereans, they were just a normal group of people, but they were called noble because when Paul taught them, when they were taught by the apostles, they went and read more about it. They went and studied the Scriptures to make sure that this was true. And so they had a foundation for their belief. And God says they're noble for that. And so this is an admonishment and command to us. And so I'm primarily thinking about verse 15 here. And so as we think on Bible study, I recognize that there's some even sitting here that are very learned Bible students that have gone in their Christian life and know far more than maybe I ever will learn. So I'm careful to not come I don't want to come across as here's the way to do it. You know, there's no one way to study the Bible. The best way is the way we do it at all, because sometimes we just don't do it at all. But I just want to give some things tonight to help us, to motivate us to do maybe what we know or could have got slack in or keep doing what we are doing. So maybe used of God to do that. So Bible study, first of all, is a life pursuit. It's not just something, there's no easy way to learn your Bible. It's going to be hard work. It's not going to happen in a week. You're not going to go to a meeting and suddenly have, you know, all the truths of the Bible understood. So it's a life pursuit, but anyone can. Any one of you, I can become a Bible student. We can know what the Scripture says. And you say, well, you know, I don't understand it. I read and it doesn't make sense. That's probably better than reading and thinking it does make sense, because you see, the Bible says the natural man doesn't understand. So we've got to be saved in this business. But also, when we rely on the Spirit to teach us, we ask for God's wisdom to understand it, we're more likely going to come to the right conclusions than thinking that, you know, just going by maybe our natural instinct in the matter. So we definitely need God's teaching, but anyone can study the Bible and know what it says and be useful in the Scriptures. And it's work. It's going to be a workman. All those three references talked about the work of it and applying ourselves to it. Our brain's a muscle, so it gets tired. It says, much study is a weariness to the flesh, but it's very profitable. And that's what I want you to notice next. It's profitable. It's so that it's acceptable to God. It's God's approved. God's pleased when we start with this work. And its profit is easily seen just a couple of the ways, is our own growth. It says that we need not to be ashamed in verse 15, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have an answer. We have a foundation that it's not just these beliefs we've heard, but hey, I know what I do believe. So it gives us that assurance and confidence. Now, as we think of the value of Bible study here real quick, that sometimes we kind of miss the value, or we don't see its pertinence to our life. We don't see how it exactly applies to everyday living, getting up and going to work and having a family or taking care of the grandkids or whatever it may be. And so we maybe get a little bit lax or just aren't motivated how we could be. It was a little bit, probably 2 years ago, I was listening to part of a message by Lester Roloff, an old preacher from the past, and he's interesting to listen to. And he was giving an illustration talking about how he had spoken to some people about improving their memory. And he asked a group of, I believe it was a group of boys, and he was speaking to a church at the time, that if they would memorize a portion of Scripture, how many of you would be willing to memorize a chapter from the Bible? And of course, not many are eager just to jump up and down. Some will, but some would do it, but not many. And then he says, well, what if I gave you $10? Maybe. $50? Okay. And he's offered him $100. Anybody who could come quote a chapter of Scripture to him, didn't matter how long. There's some 2-verse chapters. I'd go for those first. And, he would give him $100. And he went on to say, shame on you. I'm not going to pay you to do something you should do. But, sometimes we can relate to money, right? I'm not trying to make us feel guilty here about how we're sometimes wrong motives, but we know the value of money. It's in our economy. We know what it can do. And so sometimes we got to get in God's economy. If you remember in Psalm 19, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And so an adjustment has to be made when we have to get into God's economy of seeing some things, maybe we don't see the value of it. We don't see how it applies, but apparently God says, this is something that's real profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We'd buy lotion or anything that said it could do half that much. And so the Word of God, it promises us a lot. It's very profitable. So the excuses of it's too much work or I don't have time, it's more about whether we're willing to do it than those things. Those will work, get themselves worked out. And so a thought here, how greatly our influence maybe in our Christian life, how far we'll go, how greatly God can use us, will be in a large way determined upon two things. One, how well we are a student of this book, whether our working knowledge of it, and secondly, on our yieldedness to the Spirit working God's will in our lives. And those two things have a very large factor in our life. But so we kind of looked at Bible study and something we should do. And then I want to get on here to how to do it, how to make a success of it. And before I get to the extremely, the nitty-gritty, I want to just notice some big things here. We should always keep in mind that it's the Word of God, right? It's not just a normal book. I was giving a Bible to a girl this morning. She didn't have a Bible, and she's like, we were talking about how we should read it and stuff. She's like, I don't have a Bible, so hopefully she'll be able to read it now and at least have one. But I was trying to impress to her in the minute I had that it's not just a library book. It's the Word of God. And you won't get that necessarily from going to seminary. They come out of their 4 years or at college or something, and many of these men, pastors, are no more sure or even not sure that it's the Word of God. After all, they don't know, or they don't believe it is. And that's a shame, because our false doubts and stuff, they don't come from the Bible. They come from other people's interpretation of the Bible or other teachings on the Bible. If you stick to the Bible, those many doubts, these false religions and faiths, they're not found in here. So, just a thought when you're witnessing to your friends. But so we have to look to God for wisdom in this thing. It's not our understanding that's going to do it. And God, but God will teach us. So when I was studying, sometimes I'll come to portions, I'm like, I have no idea what this means. I don't understand it. But if every time I've prayed about it, every time I just left it, Lord, would you show me what this means? And I just leave it with that. Sometimes weeks later, I'll be looking at something else, or it'll just click. It'll just, like, God always shows me what it means. So, and God will do that for anybody. So, a readiness to obey God's teachings, our motives in this. Someone said, regarding Bible study, it was a slogan of a group for some time: read accurately, interpret honestly, apply drastically. And that's what we have to do with the Bible. It's for our use and our application. Now, what I'm going to share next is not going to help us if we don't decide to do it. But I hope that you will take this to your heart, study to show thyself approved, and you'll see that it's worth it, that it's something God wants us to do. You'll get in God's economy. And so I want to just give you some methods of study, because sometimes it's a lack of understanding or how to go about it that can kind of cause us to stall. Probably a couple years ago, I came across a book entitled How to Study the Bible by R.A. Torrey. And that book did several things for me. One, it got me excited about studying the Bible. I saw I could do it. It showed me the profit of it. And I think that's the greatest thing it did, because our parents raised us in some methods of study, but they just seemed too hard and too long or whatever, you know. And I'd studied things, but I guess I saw the profit of it. I saw that how valuable it was, and I wanted to do it. It got me interested. And also, this book gave me several methods, which I've practiced myself. And so that's what I'm going to just give briefly tonight. So the first method of study is topical study. How do we do it? We come to the Bible. It's big. How do we break it down into topics? So this is one method of study that's very fast. It's very profitable. It's very, you get results really quick. And so in doing that, we can study such as things. You go to the Bible, like I love to study nature. You take trees, you take rocks, you take birds, you take things like boats and anything, animals. A lot of things relate directly to Christ. It's wonderful to see how it ties together. Like Christ is pictured to a lamb, to a rock. Find out why he's likened to these things, the lily, and so many others. Or the things that had a place in Christ's life, trees and their significance, or just many different things. And that's a very interesting way of study, and it goes very quickly, and you can find a lot that has good application to yourself. And find out why the righteous should be like a palm tree and shall flourish like a cedar. He says that in Psalm, I believe, 92. And I preach on that in junior church a little bit back. And I love learning about the trees there. So we can take any topic like that. And I encourage you to do that. Another thing would be such as truth. Like, for instance, you take prayer. And so you want to study prayer. Now, the good thing to keep in mind is to study things related to it. So if you only study prayer, if you're looking up only references on that, you might miss a lot of other verses that might use supplication or giving of thanks or ask. So when you study a topic, try to not get too narrowed on it that you miss a lot of other truths that are sitting right there, but just you didn't get out and reach them. Another thing is to stay balanced. You always know the preacher that the joke's told that he always preached on baptism. You know, every sermon went to baptism. And so they finally told him to preach on the axes laid to the stump of the tree, the root of the tree. And so he did start preaching on that. And then the tree fell over and clogged up the creek, and they had a baptism. So we have to remember to stay balanced. So sometimes we can get in trouble just looking at our favorite topics, and we're not thoroughly furnished. We have some beds and some dressers and some chairs, but, you know, maybe we want some food in our house or some lights or things like that. A workman thoroughly furnished. So I encourage you to keep that balance. We can also study people.
their names, lessons from their life. Brother Joe is preaching through David. And I find it interesting, you know, his life. You look at his successes, his failures, and even what their names mean. And you can also study types. The type is something that's a picture. And there are many thought to be types, but there are many real types in the Bible. And one would be that first temple where we have the showbread, you know, the altar, the mercy seat, and the candlestick, and these different things, the ark. And you go to Hebrews and you find out that there are types of the things that would come. They were all pictures of what Jesus would do in his offering for sin and his priestly ministry. And so that's a type, something that was a picture of something to come or about our Lord. And so those are can be very interesting to study as well. So that's the topical study, some ideas on that. It might be good to write out a list of topics you're going to study to help you stay balanced, and so you don't just study necessarily what's interesting, but you're well-rounded in the doctrines. That can be very good. Now, I want to talk here about book study, how to study a book of the Bible. This is just one method. I know there's many more, but I've used this method, and it's very easy, so to speak. It's not that challenging, and it's very profitable. So, if you want to study a book, just an idea would be to start with a short book if it's going to be your first book. Don't get Genesis or the Psalms. You just might get worn out before you see how profitable for your first book it is. And you don't want that to happen. So get something short that you can read through in a sitting very easily. Paul's epistles are really good. They're very rich, plenty of application. So that's a great any of them. And you need one that's kind of simple. So this book is suggested reading it over and over. And that's what I did. I picked the book of Ephesians, and that was going to be the book I studied, and I read it over and over, even in a sitting, till you get the idea, till it begins to sink in, and you can see the big picture of what the book is teaching you. And then once you got that, you want to be in your Bible. You may have, if you have a study Bible, an intro, and you do the same thing. And there's a bunch of questions that will give a lot of insight into a book. And some is like, who wrote it? Who's the human author? Well, Paul, you know, wrote the book of Ephesians. Where did they write it? Why did they write it? To whom did they write it? You know, you see, you'll learn a lot by even just looking at those simple truths. Like Paul, pastor brings out all the time when he preaches from Philippians, what went on when they were in Philippi. They were put in jail and all those things. And Paul was in jail when he wrote that book. But how often in every chapter you'll find rejoicing and how he's encouraging them to rejoice in the Lord. And even you go to David's life, it adds meaning to a psalm or to one of his passages if you know what was going on in his life. You see, oh, this was God judging him, or Psalm 51, this is him confessing his sin, him restoring a relationship with God. So many different things. Or John on the Isle of Patmos when he writes. So you see the circumstances. What's happening to the people in the book? Why are they writing this? You see, some of the books are to strangers scattered throughout, or the Christians scattered, as James was to those Jews. And so what can we learn about the author? You'll find things that Paul says about himself in the book, which are all good things to learn. So this is like an intro. You're writing down these things. Just go all the who, what, where, why questions, and you'll find them very profitable. Another one is, once we've done that, you could do this or don't have to, but if you divide the book into sections, such as like a lot of Bibles, mine has the headers, if you would. And you look at like Ephesians, if you look at it under the idea of your walk or your position or what Christ has done for you, you come out with all these different outlines of the whole book. You just see it through like a different lens. But so that may change over time, but it is a good exercise kind of helps you understand the book and the big picture. So we choose a book, read it, kind of write an intro, divide it into sections, and then take it verse by verse. Now, you could just go topical into a book, which would be kind of the next step, where you would say, you sit down with the book, maybe you can do this in your morning quiet time, doesn't take that long, and you say, what does this say about the believer? And you just read the book, write down what it says about the believer and some application or something. So you could go topical through it, but going verse by verse, it takes a while. But it's very profitable. No other way are you actually going to get down and visit every one of those verses. And the ones, you know, you quite don't understand, but you don't really think about them. And so I would encourage that. It takes a while, but it's worth it. and you'll learn a lot. So if you do decide to go verse by verse, just ask yourself some questions. Figure out the meaning of the words in the verse, and you can, what's the context of the verse? What, you know, what's around the verse? The verse before it, the verse after verse, the after it, the context. And so we don't want to get it out of context. What are parallel passages? When we study a book, we want to keep another book maybe in mind. Ephesians and Colossians are really close. 2 Peter and Jude, really close. You know, you want to keep these things in mind as you study. You know, a lot of books just feed off each other really well. And so once you get the parallel passages, then ask yourself, what does this verse teach? What is this verse here for? What is it meant to teach? Not what can it be made to teach, but what does it teach? And what's the application to it or something like that? You can go as deep as you like to finding out what it means. So then once you have that, you've gone verse by verse. In other ways, you classify your results because you've gained knowledge, but then now you want to put it into a way that's usable. And so this is what is going to be usable for you and usable for others. So you go under the title of God, for instance, and you find out, you put what you found in the book under that heading. Now this is work. It takes time, but once you get started, it's really not that hard if you set your mind to it. And so you see that God is the bestower, Jesus is the bestower of spiritual gifts. You can even go through each of the Godhead. Each, it says, does a different thing. He's the giver of wisdom. He, you know, throughout that book we learn what he does and what he is to us. And so that's, after you've done that, always keep in mind that what you're learning, what I'm learning, isn't to be a bodybuilder, right? It's to be a workman, not a bodybuilder. It's to be a soldier going into battle, not a soldier going into parade. It does say knowledge puffs up. The more we learn, the more will be our temptation, if would be, that the temptation will be there to always be proud about what we know, or to trust in what we know. That's just a fact of life. That doesn't mean don't learn, but that's just the way it is. And so we want to always make application to our life and meditate on what we learned. Otherwise, you'll just gain knowledge and it won't help you. So whenever we learn, we want to make an application to us and meditate on what it's actually teaching. That's how we'll really grow. So those are just some ideas on how to study. I just throw them out there, and if you want more, like it says, a workman, you know, I go to my job, I have tools. You may want to invest in some good tools, a good study Bible, some good cross-reference things or concordance. You know, have the right tools can save you lots of time. And so if you're going to get serious about it, I'd encourage you to look into getting some Bible study tools. Another thought here about knowing our Bible, studying our Bible, is to read our Bible. Sometimes that's just where we need to start. And I've kind of adopted a method of, you know, I know some people read their Bible through every year. I've done that. I like to have a kind of slower method where it's a chapter or two chapters a day. It takes 2 or 2.5, 3 years. But at least I'm working through it progressively. And it's funny, even though I've read it through several times, it's such a big book that you think this is the first time you've ever read something. You know, but you know you've read it before, but it's just funny. I have never seen that. And so you're always, it keeps you balanced. It keeps, because you'll learn things in the just reading through that you'll never see any other way. And so that's a good thing to keep doing. Some level of reading. Give attendance to reading. And if we really want to get serious about it, some variations of study can be good. So if we have our reading, you know, don't have to read that much. Maybe we read a chapter or two. And then we have, maybe in the morning, our topical study or something. We're working through a book, verse by verse, so a verse a day or something. It doesn't really take that long. And then we have maybe a topic we're working on at the same time. And so it's like thoroughly furnished. It's a weightlifter that's only doing curls, you know. Well, if he leans down to pick something up, he might pull a hamstring or something like that. And so it's keeping us thoroughly furnished, more rounded and balanced. So as a final thought, I just want to give some brief thoughts about studying to be a workman as in helping others. Personal work, soul winning, encouraging believers. That's what we want to do. We all want to be used, but sometimes we're not really prepared. And we get to the place and we just can't think of anything to say because we really don't have anything to say. We know a lot, but we don't have it in a way we can use it. And so a way that we can learn the scriptures and be more bold and soul winning is to take the same idea of topical study, but one thing I like to do and is to take an idea of, let's say, faith, or let's take someone's need for a Savior. And so we go to write down verses that talk about our need for a Savior. So you could either have different topics, the blood, our need for a Savior, grace, faith, salvation through faith, and all these things, or they may correspond with different types of people. Someone you're talking to that it seems like they're trusting in their own works to get to heaven. And so you may want to show that it's by faith or not of works like the scriptures say. So you may want to take them back to Romans chapter 4, verse 5, where it says that to him that worketh not, but believeth. You go to chapter 3, verse 28, it says that we conclude that it's not of works. A man is justified without the deeds of the law. Or Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it's by grace you're saved through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, it goes on to say. Or Titus 3, 5, and so many things. If you'll kind of group them under there, it's kind of easier to remember them and just instead of just these miscellaneous verses that all have something to do with each other. So if we think about someone's need, that's one of the greatest areas that it's easy to get someone saved, to show them the truth, but sometimes it's hard to get them to show their need. So different verses, different illustrations could be very helpful. So we go to any verses, John 8:34, it talks about one that commits sin is the servant of sin. And if you'll learn to ask some questions about it, people are actually very open to you showing them a verse from the Bible. And they might not be after you get started, but almost no one says, no, don't show me anything. They're like, okay, I'll take a look. And so you ask who commits, who's the servant of sin? It's just an objective answer. Well, one that commits it. Okay, do you commit sin? You always have to personalize it. And if they'll be honest, yeah, we commit sin, right? And so what are you then? You're a servant of sin. Or you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, where it says that cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Who's cursed? The one doesn't keep all the law. Do you keep all the law? No, you're under a curse. Go on to verse 13, though, it says Christ delivered us from the curse, being made a curse for us. And so group it together, and there's a lot of verses that talk about our need, and that will help you be more confident. You'll have something there. We're not going into there saying it's never trusting in what we know, but God is not likely to give us a divine revelation of the whole truths of the Bible as we're talking to someone. He's more likely to bring to remembrance what we've already learned and put in our heart, right? And so that's what we want to do. We want to take that time to put it in our heart in a way we can use it. So these are just ideas. I pray that it could be just a motivation. Something, maybe you are studying the Bible, keep doing it. It's profitable. It's valuable. Maybe you could say, I want to try that method of study. I've been doing this, or maybe I need to get started with something. There's books out there that tell you how to do it. If we want to do it, we'll do it. And so may God give us that desire to actually be a student, a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we would see its value, that we'd become to look on it as that it's so profitable, so pertinent to our lives, that we wouldn't neglect it, but we'd want to study it. We'd want to know what it says. We'd want to share it with others. Help us ever look to your Spirit to teach us all the things of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.